Coming up next, we got Black Seinfeld, the show about nothing. So please stay tuned. You're tuning into 99.5 FM, WBAI New York. Stay tuned, peeps. You don't wanna hold me and squeeze me. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Black Seinfeld, the show about nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
I am your host, the fully vaccinated. That's right. Two times, baby. Second dosage. Mr. Second Dosage. Trinidaddy, Panamanian Poppy, Rude Boy, Top Gunner, Suck Panyamada, Mask On. Mask Off. Giovanni Anglin, aka the future of society. What's going on, people?
Yo, what's going on? It's Bastion Nissa, a.k.a. your pre-summer workout plan. Recording live in Queens. Gio is in Brooklyn. What is good?
What is good, people? And that's right. I did it. I just came back from getting my second dosage of the Pfizer vaccine. That's right. I'm fully vaccinated. Am I vaccinated against all the variants that's coming in here because of Europe? No. But you know what? I got my
double mutated.
Exactly. The double mutated vaccine? No, I don't have that one. I got the original one. I got the original Pfizer grade A. So that's it. I'm fully vaccinated. I'm not advocating taking off my mask, but I'm just happy that I got this done. It's over. I can travel if I want to. I could do what I want to, but still do whatever the store says. If the store says keep your mask on, just keep your mask on. All right. Just don't be that person.
Restaurants, playgrounds, any situation where you're in a crowd of people, still got to keep your mask even after you get your vaccine shot.
Exactly. You got to be considerate.
Dude,
you're telling me? Bruh, once I got that vaccine, I didn't want to keep that mask on. I felt free, but I wasn't really free because all of these businesses that you go into, they require you having a mask on. It's still the law, technically.
This whole journey really takes place like as a movie, where if there was an alien attack and the country said, hey, we need to do this in order to work together, everybody would not listen to anybody. And it would just be a mess. So I don't know if the vaccine that everybody's getting, the vaccine, will be able to contain the mess, because everybody still needs to play their part. So the people that are unvaccinated, not vaccinated yet, still have to wear a mask. We still have to stop traveling. We still have to stay at home. And we had to make sure these variants die out as fast as they can before we could all get back to where we started.
I disagree with that point, Bash. And I feel like sometimes we need an outside extraterrestrial source to bring humanity together.
Absolutely not. It would not work. All that idea and like the ideology that if something happens,
extraterrestrial,
we'll all work together. Like, we'll all work together. We'll all be one, is not true. And I do not believe it could work.
And plus, you've been watching The Winter Soldier and Falcon, so that already shows you that
it's also like sociology. It's like, you know, we think about crowds of people. We think about how if we could work together, we could have like a hive mind. And that's not true. Mm-hmm. Even if we come to the same most of us won't come to the same conclusion, and that's the biggest problem.
That's human nature, though.
Yeah, somebody will come out and create like, hey, the aliens are actually
our friends,
here to protect us and our friends and stuff. Not saying that we're against aliens, but coming to like a big super villain, and we had to work together to beat the villain.
Hypothetically, Thanos.
Hypothetically speaking,
what if Thanos comes? Thanos, would you join Thanos, or would you try and fight with the Avengers?
They wouldn't do anything. They'll continue like nothing's happening, and that's what.
No, I'm asking you. What would you do?
Me? Like, the most you could do is support.
You're supporting the Avengers. You're not going to go on the side of Thanos.
No, there's nothing to do.
You on can, that side. You can balance the cosmic shift. You know, you could get a nice little balance dagger and mark people with Thanos.
No. There's no positivity to that.
Okay, Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight. Would you go with Batman or Joker?
Why are you giving these like terrible dilemmas?
Because I think we're not too far from that happening.
Because
I'm not
saying
in 10 or 20 years, but maybe like the next 100 years.
Because the whole concept is, do we want to be in a utopia, or do we want to be in dystopia? You know, are we fine being in that science fiction movie where everything's dark and shallow? You look up and all you see is dark skies and neon lights. Yeah, that's the future we're heading. You know, this whole utopia. Like, I was watching something on YouTube, and they're talking about Star Trek. And Star Trek, I think New Generations, they're referencing how on planet Earth, and this is, I think it takes place like 300 years from like now. And on planet Earth, there's no longer like famine, poor, rich. It's like everybody realized how to work together. So there's no need for stock markets and all those type of things. We don't have the sense of needing stuff. Oh, no. I think wanting. We removed the idea of want, and we no longer want that.
That's
no,
close
now
to Buddhism.
We just focus on progress.
I'm sorry. That's close to Buddhism. When I was in high school, we used to call it Buddhism because we were foolish children. But I think that's one of the principles of Buddhism is getting rid of all desire, an urge of desiring.
Yeah.
Because when you get rid of desire, that's the end of all suffering. That's one of the principles of Buddhism. That's right. You see, people, I know some things. I'm smart.
See, so you understand what I mean. It's like because we all desire so much and different things, and we want different outcomes out of it, it causes pain.
Yeah. Well, it's like that inner monologue I was having with myself all last year during the summertime, during the pandemic. I was just having these conversations with myself, and I was just thinking, like, why did we as a society choose to live our lives this way, right? And if humanity is truly in control of everything, right, in control of poverty, in control of just people's will to live, right, why don't we just stop all of this? Why don't we just stop the stock market? Why don't we just stop all of it? And we can all just, like, chill out and give someone a home to live in. Because money and all that stuff, that's all human construct. We designed that. So if we really wanted to get rid of it, we can, but I think we don't, because I feel like humanity still has this sort of need of finding a meaning towards life. I think people want to be remembered for stuff. I think people have motivations to like do things, create things, so they can be remembered for X, Y, or Z.
That's an interesting thought. But it's more like a very small percentage, because it could be like 0.0001% are actually remembered throughout history, right?
Mm-hmm.
The idea
but
that
it's the aspiration
want,
to be remembered.
The aspiration
for something.
To be remembered. Yeah. But it's only a certain group of people. That's the thing.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
we
course.
Are people that want to be remembered or have aspirations to do something big in the future. But at a certain point in time, when you have the rest of the population that's just living day by day, wouldn't it be better if we all live day by day?
But again, that goes back to human behavior, though.
Yeah, but we all want to do things because we see other people doing things.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So if those people no longer, not say no longer exist, but we all just, you know, living, less anxiety, less pressure, less choices and stuff. Like, hey, you know, what do you want to do? Farmland, want to help build, you know, the direction of the certain society. It's like, this is, you know what I'm trying to say?
Are you asking what if we as a society decide to stop? Just stop everything?
No, not society. Just people.
Just people just decide to stop?
Yeah, because society is like government.
Yeah.
At a certain point.
But technically, I mean, because people do run the government, we are government. Because no, people have
government are not run by people.
Oh, what do you think they're
just run by like an organization.
And the organization's run by
people that want to organizations people. Like saying corporations aren't people. Right? It's like corporation has a different idea. Their brain is just warped different. They mm-hmm. have no empathy, no humanity whatsoever. It's all about making profits.
Right.
Hence, that's what I mean. Like, we're not run by people. Okay. We're not, okay. In just layman's terms, we're not run by people that care.
Okay, that's fair. So
empathy. I think my idea of humanity is empathy. That's what
Okay. Well, for me, you know, I think, I don't know, I have this weird fascination or obsession of studying people that don't have empathy. Like, one of my favorite pastimes is looking up and reading about like serial killers or cult leaders. For example, I've been watching the Peacock documentary about John Wayne Gacy. And for those of you who do not know who John Wayne Gacy is, he's this dude that was like a huge part of the community. Like he owned a bunch of like construction business and housing businesses and all that stuff. And he was into politics even. And he even dressed up as a clown to entertain children. But like he would take these teenage and young boys and like sexually molest them and then murder them and then dig a grave of their bodies and put it underneath his house. And in this documentary, they had like exclusive footage of an interview with John Wayne Gacy and him just retelling everything that happened about his victims, how he killed them. There was no empathy in his eyes at all. And for some reason, to me, that stuff interests me. Like, how can you do that to a person and just have no moral, no sort of empathy, no real emotion about it?
Yeah. They have a lot of TV shows like that.
Oh,
I
think those are hooked.
Well, you like 90 Day Fiancé.
I do love 90. Listen, I love 90 Day Fiancé. Okay, that is one of my biggest guiltiest of pleasures is 90 Day Fiancé. Great show.
I put that and reality TV, like the nonsense reality TV, mm-hmm. all in the same box.
Got it.
Because you could derive pleasure in watching that, but you don't really want to meet this person in real life.
Oh, absolutely, you know? Not. He died on death row.
You don't want to like write the paper.
Oh, hell no. I don't want to be the guy interviewing John Wayne Gacy or freaking Luca Magnotta. I don't want to do that. I mean, I like to do the research. I like to read about him. I like to see mm-hmm. interviews about him. And that's it. Like, I never have this weird thing where I want to call them up in prison and see how they're doing. I just want to read about you. I want to read about what you've done. And that's it. That's as far as my obsession goes. And study their characteristics, because a lot of like serial killers and cult leaders, they have a lot of commonalities.
With the CEOs and stuff?
I mean, hey, even with CEOs, I mean, CEOs, cult leaders, they're both very charismatic. They can manipulate people into doing whatever it is that they want to do. Think about Charles Manson, the Manson family, right? He got locked up for, he didn't even kill anyone, right? He got locked up for telling people to kill.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's
that theory. It's like if someone tells you to do something mm-hmm. and you do it, did you do it or did the person telling you to do it did it?
Yeah, almost like Joker-esque logic, but sometimes Joker's logic and his reason and rationality behind certain things, it makes sense, but you have to remember you're still dealing with a madman. And that's why I like reading up and studying cult leaders and stuff, because cults are a thing, man. Even their cult jobs, even like MLMs, which is like multi-level marketing firms, if you know what I mean, Bash.
Yeah, that's a very interesting word, cult jobs.
It is.
Because something that's interesting about working in an environment, especially with a mission statement that you could trust, you do want to build a relationship of something comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens when they're just constantly like telling you, we are doing this and we are doing that, and you could come up with us.
Right.
it just becomes a little culty.
And in a year's time, you can make up to six figures, $100,000, hell, even seven figures in just a year's time. If you work hard enough and if you stick to our script and if you stick to our marketing methods, you can be one of us. But also, yeah. Please recruit some of your friends and family to join us as well. It's kind of sketchy.
Your friends.
Yeah.
If they're not with it, they're against you.
Exactly.
So drop them.
And they don't want you to shine. They don't want to see you succeed. So you know what? Your friends and family, they don't care about you. They don't love you. You know what? Why don't you drop them?
Drop them. Don't even call them. When you drive around your rented Lambo that we all have to rent together.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Ask you for a ride, you ignore them.
And you come to our yearly meetings, our quarterly meetings, and these...
Ivan's weekly, 2 a.m.s.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the big gatherings that's like 5 minutes away from the airport and those like big airport hotels, and everyone's in suits, and then the big CEO comes out with all this pyrotechnics and all that crap coming out, and he's saying, you know what? This isn't a pyramid scheme. You can be like me. Yeah. You know that motivational speaking, a lot of positive reinforcements.
Yeah.
It's very cult-like.
It's like, I forgot his name. He's down in Texas.
The Herbalife dude?
Huh?
Is it the Herbalife guy?
No. He has his own church and he preaches.
Oh, Joel Osteen?
Joel Osteen.
Yeah.
He's number one, right?
Yeah.
He's good at what he does.
Isn't that in Houston, Texas?
Yeah, Houston, Texas.
Okay.
Even if you're not religious and you listen to dude, you feel like you could believe.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
That's charismatic.
And that's what they do. He's very charismatic and he has the information.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we all want at the end of the day, the information. That's why there's this the stupidest Twitter joke of all time is
what's that?
What would you do? Would you take the $50 million dollars or a dinner with Jay-Z? So what are you going to do? Pick your brain? Pick his brain? Like, come on. You're not a journalist. You don't know how to ask questions.
LLC Twitter's going to be like, yo, all the real ones know that, you know what? I would take the meeting with Jay-Z so I could learn from my own self so he could put me on game. Instead of getting $50 million firsthand, I'd rather learn from it secondhand. It's about the grind. It's about the struggle. And if you don't understand that, you're not a winner. I really believe that if someone really picked that option, Jay-Z would look at them as a fool.
Yeah, instantly, because you get the money, you just hire a mentor, and they'll mm-hmm. tell you the same thing Jay-Z would tell you on the dinner.
Yeah,
because you could hire mentors. That's something older people do after a certain age. Once mm-hmm. they hit a certain point of their career where they could just where they have information to give to people,
mm-hmm.
that's it. They just become a mentor
or
a consultant. Same thing.
You have mentors.
Not the same thing, because I don't pay them. You know, it just came with a program. Or if you're at a workplace, you could just say, hey, you know, can you mentor me? And you just follow them. It might not be like life mentorship,
mm-hmm.
but definitely
career
just help
mentorship.
Getting to the point where you want to go in your career.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's all about the growth.
Word.
And being charismatic. If you could be villainy, charismatic wise
mm-hmm. and you have to have the assets too to match the swagger. You have to have the BMW and all that too.
Even if you fake it, which a lot of people do,
they
which I hate
100% fake it. They're platinum members, which I still don't know what that even means. I just know that people are platinum members.
It's like a video game. That's every time I see that, I look at it as a video game.
Mm-hmm.
Where every time you create a game, you need to create levels in order to give them motivation to continue the game. You know, you level 5, you get a little fire attack. But if you level 20, it could be like a Kamehameha wave.
Mm.
So it's like you've seen the level 20s out there. They're having fun in the game. The game's so hard for you because you're level 5. But hey, work hard. Come up.
Man, I've seen some friends putting up that they're platinum members to Forex, right? And I just felt like, yo, I wanted to save them, but then I remember what J. Cole told me, don't save up, they don't want to be saved, don't save them. But then again, like, they're my friends and I love them, but like, what if I say something and then they're like, yo, bro, you know, you're not really my friend, you don't want to see me shine, you don't want to see me succeed. But my rationality behind it is like, dude, there's nothing wrong with Forex. It's just I don't think you need a team that you have to pay to like, you know, be a part of their little team. Like, you could just learn it on your own.
Yeah. Well, I think it's good to learn from somebody, right? Mm-hmm. That's the only thing I'm fine with those groups. Mm-hmm. I think if you could grow, but you're not part, because it's divided into two parts, mm-hmm. learning and actually investing and getting people to join. Because if you're focused on the investment, sooner or later, you're going to realize that people around you are not learning or going the same direction as you.
Or the fact that a lot of those people that are in it aren't going to make that much money because people promise you or give you the belief that, hey, in just a couple months or just like a year, 2 years tops, you're going to make X amount of money. And then when it doesn't happen, and then you realize the only people really making money isn't even the manager per se or your mentor per se. It's like the real top executives really actually out here making 6-7 figures. Then you start realizing, like, dude, what have I been doing all this time?
So I always tell people, like my cousin, shout out to him. He does it, but he does it to a point where he's by himself. Mm-hmm. He got the books and he's studying, got his tactics, and he's just focused on the tactics, right? He creates time for it, focus on tactics, just him mm-hmm. and the books. So it's same thing. If you want to get interested in investing, you can't be a day trader. People think they could be day trader. No one could be a day trader.
But Bastion, you have your phone in your pocket. And if you have your phone in your pocket, you could make money off of it. So you know what you need to do? Forex.
Most people aren't built to put money on the line. Same thing for gambling, right?
Yeah, it's
risk.
You
have to be built for it. If you don't have rules and you're in a situation like blackjack, if you get like a 17, you're not supposed to hit on 17.
Exactly.
Right? But you think, you know, you think
that you might just
right,
get
I'm
that
gonna
four.
Go for it.
You could get that four and risk it. And then you bust and get a five or a six.
Because most people don't think that the dealer could bust as well.
Right.
Right? So, hey, if the dealer gets 19, that's it. But if you hit that 17, mm-hmm. and you get like, you know, and
a
you
three.
Bust a 22,
yeah.
that's it. You lost.
True. And I think that's a thing, too. It's like we're saying risk, but also I don't think people understand that sometimes in order to get in that game, you're going to be having to realize that you're going to lose money. Like, you're going to have to lose money to make money in that field.
Yeah. You win some, lose some.
Right.
But before we leave the subject, at the end of the day, like, somebody has to buy a top. So somebody has to be a loser.
Yeah.
If it's not you, somebody else is a loser. There's always going to be a loser.
And that is capitalism, my friends.
That's it. That's the game. Someone has to be a loser.
Yeah, that is it. And now I hope everyone enjoyed that conversation. I thought that was fun.
A little philosophy and sociology mix.
I felt like I was in the Midnight Gospel. That was one of my favorite shows of last year. That was the animated series that had a lot of philosophical Buddhist philosophy in its content. And it was an animation, so it was great.
Yeah.
Now let's really start the show with certain topics that I wanted to get into. And shout out to all my stoners out there, my potheads, my weed smokers. I'll never forget the first time I've tried weed. I was like 14, 13 years old. And I was a huge fan of That 70s Show, Bastion. And I realized when I kept watching that show was the fact that when Foreman was in his basement and he was with his friends and they were all in this cipher and in this circle and there was this all this heavy smoke in the background or light smoke in the background, they were getting high. And I thought, hey, you know what would be fun? Getting high with your friends. So I went over to one of my friends' house who lived right around the corner from me, who conveniently had a basement and conveniently they smoked. And one day, you know, I just felt like, you know, I had time. And, you know, that was my first time smoking weed in it. And I'm not going to lie, you know, this isn't a Sesame Street special. We're not on PBS Kids. It was fun. I'm not going to lie. It was fun. But I was around people that love me. I was around people that were willing to help me if I had a bad trip or something. So with that, rejoice to all my potheads and stoners. Governor Cuomo signed the legislative bill Marijuana is now legal. Recreational marijuana usage is now legal here in New York and New York City. Stand up. Bastion, your take. How do you feel about this? I know you're not a stoner, but, you know.
Yes.
As someone who goes to school around, who used to go to school around Jamaica Ave, you know, you're very versatile on pot dealers and potheads, so.
Yeah, allegedly. Full disclosure, I do not smoke weed, right?
And that's okay.
But I know a lot of people that do.
Right.
So I do have an understanding of how, like, it helps people, especially if they have anxiety or if they just need to chill. Some people use it to go to sleep. Some people just want to use it to have a good time. That being said, this is long overdue. Mm-hmm. And it's not I'm not even focused on the people that use it for recreational reasons. It's more the people that are in prison for having a very, like, small amount, like less than 3 ounces or so. And they're in jail for a couple of months because our court system is so packed up.
Exactly. And so racially biased, too.
Super racially biased because, you know, the percentage. It's a very high percentage. All races smoke weed. Between white and black, but
especially black white people, all right?
The people of color will most likely get arrested for it and will do time for it
because we're poor,
like counterpart.
Yeah,
and that's just the way the system is. So, looking at this, and I don't want to jump to it, I want you to lead the whole thing, but
sure.
I'm kind of happy that this is the start of it, and mm-hmm. I think it will expand. I hope it expands quickly over time. But the first rules and the first things they got to set up, you know, just to get everything, just to get the ball rolling, mm-hmm. I think it's a good start.
Well, it's interesting that you brought up the rules, Bastion, because I have some of the rules jotted down. So listen up to all my potheads out there, all right? This affects you, people in the New York area, the New York State area, and the New York City area as well. So individuals are allowed to possess up to 3 ounces of marijuana for recreational purposes, or 24 grams of the concentrated form of weed, such as oils, pens, vapes, etc., right? New Yorkers, you are permitted to smoke weed in public wherever smoking cigarettes are allowed. However, smoking weed is not permitted in schools, obviously, workplaces, or inside your car, which is practically the same as, it's the same laws as smoking cigarettes. You can't smoke cigarettes in your car anymore, too. I just realized that.
Wait, really?
Yeah, you can't smoke in your car anymore. That's illegal.
It has to be like open window, right?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, you're crazy if you smoke with the windows closed.
Hotboxing.
You're an animal. No, smoking cigarettes.
Oh, dude, I remember one time I was in Long Island, and I was in this cab or whatever, and this dude was a heavy smoker, and he never opened up his windows because it just reeked of cigarettes, chest burning and everything. It was horrible.
Yeah.
I would have wished I had a mask on for that. Jeez.
It would have helped. It would have kept the smoke. You would have kept the cigarette smoke in your lungs.
Probably. Yeah, you're right.
Secondhand smoke kills kids.
It does kill. But also in the city, this is now for the city. Pay attention. Smoking is banned in parks, in benches, boardwalks, pedestrian plazas, and playgrounds. Which I'm going to be.
In the club, too.
And in the club. Generally, smoking is permitted on the sidewalks, and I'm going to tell you why I hate this one. I hate this one. It's because the best place to get high is in parks, on benches, and on the boardwalks, and pedestrian plazas. I won't do playgrounds, because that's where the kids be. But those four spots, that's the best prime spot to get high, especially if you got the water in front of you, you got your scenery. I like to listen to Wiz Khalifa in the background or some Tupac. You know, it's a whole little ritual I have if I'm exchanging some medicinals with friends.
You don't think that if they allowed park smoking that it may get out of hand?
Oh, dude, it's already getting out of hand now.
That's what I mean. So, like, you got to set the rules and boundaries. Like, hey, this is New York City. There's not a lot of parks.
That is true.
Keep the parks clean. You know, da-da-da. Corner. You know, some corner. Not here. You know, you can chill here. Post-smoke, right?
Mm-hmm.
Post everything.
Post-smoke.
But, you know, you know.
I know. I get it.
I'm definitely open for everybody. Like, you could smoke anywhere and everywhere, but
bruh,
baby steps.
People are already smoking everywhere. I've been walking down Atlantic Avenue this evening. Bruh, it just smelled.
Yeah, because I think it will be out of hand for maybe the first year. And
yeah,
to define out of hand, people will just test the boundaries.
Yeah.
Like, we're discussing rules.
We're discussing
some
the rules.
Some people are not going to read the newspaper. They're going to hear that you can.
Exactly.
And be out.
And that's why we're doing this right now, because, like, intern Mike told us, the hood listens to us. I don't know why hood, but thank you very much for listening to us. So, yeah, I felt like I needed to tell you this because I don't want to see y'all get petty tickets or anything like that, or anything that can lead into something more aggressive with police.
Getting fines.
Hell yeah. Not even getting fines, you know, it's just, you know, it can lead to a fine, but then, you know, if someone gets angry, a cop can just have a bad day, and, you know, I don't want violence amongst my people. So, you know, I'm just warning people right now. Here's some of the rules. Oh, another rule right now. So technically, this stuff is going to, well, no, it's legal to smoke weed right now, but it's not legal to purchase weed yet, because we need to take a year to get all the licenses and stuff in play and all that jazz. So 2022, it'll be officially legal to purchase weed.
From where?
Oh, of course, from dispensaries, legal dispensaries. But also, here's a big thing that's happening here in New York. And this is why I wanted to talk about the stuff that was going on in New Jersey as well. Because, one, we have listeners in New Jersey. Thank you for listening to us, everyone that's listening to us
Tri-State.
In Newark, Tri-State area, Newark, New Jersey. Thank you. Hey, maybe one day we can do a live show in Newark. Goons, just protect us, because it's Newark. I heard about y'all. All right. But anyways, so the big difference that is in Jersey, which is also a legal recreational place to get high, is the fact that over in New York, you have the ability to grow up to like 6 plants of your own homegrown weed. That's right, people. You can grow your own weed in New York, up to 6 plants. In Jersey, if they catch you growing your own weed, your ass could get up to 20 years in prison. And that is a bit controversial, because over in New Jersey, their laws is the only way you can get high recreationally is if you go to their own New Jersey state approved licensed dispensary, and which I have a big problem with, because I think it's kind of racist. That's just me. And the reason why I feel like it's kind of racist is due to, well, what they're going to do with the dispensaries, right? So basically what they're going to do with the dispensaries is the way that they price out each strain, right? They're going to tax it based on the amount of THC, right? So for example, if this strain has a high amount of THC, it's going to have more taxes. Therefore, the strain is going to be a lot more expensive, right? So
name a strain. So I got fun with this.
All right. So
like the Sleepy Joe.
So if the Moneybag Joe Sleepy Joe pack.
Yeah.
Has a high amount of THC, right? Like one of the highest amounts. Let's say, I don't know, 50%. Like, that can cost up to 3 digits easily. Easily. It could cost up to 3 digits. So, of course, you already know the financial advantages the dominant society has over us, the little people. So basically, that's why I feel like this is racist, because people at the bottom don't have enough money to go and purchase these legal strains. Yeah, to get the high grade stuff.
Another thing to kind of add on to what you said, especially from what I learned in like Colorado, mm-hmm. and how hard it is to get a license.
Yes.
So I wonder if they're going to do the same thing, like
absolutely
make it difficult.
It is going to be difficult.
I don't know if they're going to do it like cab drivers. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get a medallion, they limit it.
Right.
As for right now, the only way to get a medallion in New York City in order to do Uber or taxi is you have to buy what they consider electric cars. So if you get like a Honda Civic as a hybrid, mm-hmm. or a Tesla or et cetera, that's the only way to get it.
I have seen Tesla yellow cabs now. I told you about that in the city. I saw one. It's
an investment now. Mm-hmm. So it kind of works the same way for getting a license in order to open your store.
Hell yeah. Getting a license in a lot of stores, even the food industry, if you want to get a beer and wine license, it's a bit cheaper than getting an actual liquor license, because the liquor license is like five figures.
Oh, yeah?
Tens of thousands of dollars. It's not...
But see, the thing is, like, people could come up with the money. It's right. just would or can exactly. they get the license.
Exactly.
Because I remember... I think this was like an old client I had. Mm-hmm. And it was giving me this discussion about like how it's like so hard just to open up a shop because he has money, his friends has money, and he put it together and they said no. So they found someone else that has even a better, has like multiple houses and way better credit than all of them, and he still couldn't get a license. And they were just confused. It's like, in order to get a license, you need to know somebody to know somebody.
Yeah.
It's like nepotism. You know, it's my favorite word because it's all in the family.
You're gonna have to talk to former...
Buddy-buddy with the mayor.
Or you're going to have to talk to former freaking majority Senator John Boehner to get a freaking license. Because he's in the pot business now. This Republican who was against a lot of stuff during the Obama presidency, he's in the marijuana business.
Really?
Yeah, you didn't notice?
No, I don't. I'm gonna be honest. I don't look at marijuana at all.
That's
even
fair.
Weed stocks. I'm like my boys talk about, like the weed stocks going up. It's like,
dude, 100%.
I don't care.
I know you're not a smoker, so I understand. But I think you being in this industry, quote unquote, right? You just know a lot of people who smoke weed, and same with me.
Yeah.
Being in a service industry, hospitality, being a chef, being a barista, and all that stuff. I'd say like 70% of all the workers definitely smoke. I don't think I'm being lenient on that. I think that's pretty accurate. A lot of people smoke. A lot
more than that.
Well,
but there's another interesting law. I saw it's like if you're under the age of 21 smoking marijuana, it's still illegal.
Yeah,
and you get like a $50 fine and a mandatory drug education.
Yeah, drugs are bad, kids.
It's a gateway drug. It leads to other stuff. Next thing you know, you'd be doing K or something.
What did Nancy Reagan say?
What did Nancy Reagan say?
Just say no.
Michael Jordan, just say no.
Stop. Get some help. That was when he had a hairline.
Get some help, you know. But that was a different era. Like
that was
the
a
way
different
he was talking about his team was like crazy.
True. And that was during the crack epidemic too. But see, we're also in a different epidemic now, you don't think? I feel like with opioids, that's a huge issue.
Yeah, that's why pills. I made the K joke with the ketamine, which is a horse tranquilizer, which is just going up and up and up right now, which is insane.
Yeah,
especially in New York. But here's a question for you.
Please.
The dealers out there, right?
Oh, yes.
What do you think? I have my own theory on it.
Mm-hmm.
Good or bad for the independent business?
Well, see, Bastion, I've been having this conversation a lot with friends. And the reason why I've been having conversation with friends is due to what we were talking about with the licensing and due to opening up a store. Because especially here in New York City, it's going to be extremely difficult to open up a legitimate business.
No, not. I don't care about the legit. I'm talking about the not legit. I'm talking about those people.
Oh, me personally, I like my weed illegal. I like to support black-owned businesses. I like to support the little guy. So I think.
But do you think it'll affect the numbers?
It depends on who they supply to. I think if they stay within certain parameters, if they stay within certain boundaries, I think they will be fine. I think there are going to be some people who, you know, go to somewhere legit because, you know, they want to get that California. I feel like that's going to happen. But also, me as a person, I know I like the thrill of illegal activities, if you know what I mean. So I like to go get my weed allegedly, people, allegedly, from the little guy.
Interesting. Here's my theory.
What is your theory?
And I think I've probably told this to you before, but I remember meeting someone that owned a glasses shop, and I got the Persols on. Persols, Italian brand, expensive stuff.
I got Italian brand too, man. I got Orgreen.
Yeah. I forget, what's the main glasses company that owns all glasses?
There's a main company that owns all glasses?
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you that in a second.
Okay. During break.
Yeah, during break. So this gentleman I met, he owns a glass store, and he recognized my glasses, and we were just talking about how much I love them and stuff. And said, yeah, it costs an arm and leg, but lasts for a very long time, so I'm not upset.
Mm-hmm.
He said, yeah, it's great. So I asked him a quick question. It's like, Warby Parker. You ever been there? I said, yeah, it's a nice place. I said, yeah. So Warby Parker also sells glasses. You go in there, you try on the glasses, beautiful atmosphere, great sales team. The location is just beautiful, right? You go up, down, upstairs, downstairs, just beautiful, 10 out of 10. And I said, it's more affordable. It's stylish. Is it messing up your business? No, that's just a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he loves Warby Parker. I was like, what? I said, it's great. Why? Because people will buy Warby Parker, you know, because they'll be, let's say you're in fifth grade, you wear glasses. Now you're a grown adult. You don't want to, you know, your parents' insurance doesn't cover your glasses anymore. You got to pay out of pocket.
Right.
So you go to Warby Parker, you enjoy it. Then after 6 months, you hate it. Now you're going to be running back to the glasses shop, asking for the most expensive, something that could last much, much longer, and it's not as weak as the Warby Parker brand.
Mm.
And that was his explanation. It's that he loves it. It's great for business because people now could compare low quality to high quality.
Mm.
So that's the thing. That's something that the dealers could think about because they could still have their quality, right?
Right.
Yes, the more affordable stuff could be could be garbage. And at the end of the day, it's pretty much the same thing, depending on where they're getting it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's the way I look at it. That's it's like, you know, you have the people that get the, you know, recreational stuff and like, oh, it's okay. Then, you know, the boy down the street, you got something a little bit better, easier on the pocket.
I don't know, man. I think with these dispensaries now, it's going to be sort of like a bar. You know, you're going to have like your low shelf, you're going to have your mid-tier, and then you're going to have the high shelves. You know what I'm saying? So mid shelf, you're gonna have your Espolón tequila. Bottom shelf, you're gonna have like your Jose Cuervo, and then top shelf, you're gonna have your freaking top of the line. And I think that's gonna be the same for dispensaries.
I don't know, because it's always hit or miss.
If they're
people
smart,
will always say like, oh, you know, we do this. Here's a good show, Two Chain show, the expensive thing.
So. Oh, he still does that?
I don't know.
I remember one time he drank like $1 million worth bottle of water because the water cap had like diamond crusted whatever.
Yeah, I remember that. That was stupid. Yeah. Everything has the sprinkle of gold in it.
Right.
But I remember watching a show. He went to dispensary in California and they'll just put so much stuff on it, like marijuana, like blunt, and they'll put wax and they'll put gold leaves and all that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, it's like, it's all right. You know, it's all right. Like, you could do all this type of stuff on it, but at the end of the day, it's all about how you feel.
It's interesting that you mentioned 2 Chainz, Bastion, because at the end of these episodes, 2 Chainz says things and I really commend him for, because 2 Chainz is the guy who sort of has money to do these sort of things, and he has notoriety to be afforded to do that sort of stuff, and he's able to freaking ball out on luxury items like that, right? But at the end of the episode, he always talks about, is it worth it doing this? And I remember particularly the water episode. He was like, bruh, that ish is not worth it at all. I like to stick to my smart waters, my Fijis, my Essentias. Don't ever, ever go and get $1 million glass of water. Don't do it.
That's just a flex.
That is just a flex. But see, I think what's cool about 2 Chainz is 2 Chainz is he likes to flex a lot. His rhymes and his bars are about flexing and the trap, yeah. Right? So having a dude like 2 Chainz come out and say, hey, some of the stuff, it's not even worth it. It's not that great at all. Just stick to like the regular stuff. I think that's very telling. And hey, that can be a thing in these dispensaries as well.
So the glasses company that pretty much owns a lot of glasses is Lux Ottica.
Lux Ottica. Okay.
They own like pretty much most of the big majority brands of glasses. So just in case you buy like fancy glasses, just know that it's bought by one company.
Wow. Okay, so they're like the
Coca-Cola. They would own Ray-Brans and stuff.
So they're like the Coca-Cola of glasses.
Yeah.
Got it.
Built Polo Ralph Lauren glasses, Ray-Bans.
Oh, okay.
Most Italian glasses.
Huh.
Chanel, Coach, Dolce & Gabbana.
Orgreen.
Or Morning Exchange. Oakley.
Orgreen?
Orgreen?
Yeah, Orgreen. No. Okay.
No. It even says Persol over here. Mm. Yeah. Versace. Yeah. Tiffany & Co., they own all those glasses, bro.
Okay. Well, I guess shout out to them. I don't know.
Yeah. But to hop back to the marijuana.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. Here's a major problem.
Sure.
What I was talking about with the people that are doing time.
Mm-hmm.
That for people that were picked up for having drugs on them that are still in jail. Or, you know, maybe they're selling something. The next step is to get them all out.
Right.
The way I see it, as someone that worked in immigration law, most things take, well, immigration is just crazy. And I worked during the President Obama era. So most cases could be 1 year to like 5 years.
Right.
Or like to even 8-10 years, depending on who you are. Especially if you're trying to get a green card to come into this country, it could be 20 years. So, how fast can you start getting people out of prison?
That's a good question.
And I always thought it's like, oh, you know, they could just sign it. But like, no, a judge will have to hear the case, do all the procedures, then sign it. How many could they do a day? How many judges are available to do those things? So it's not like they could just like sign it out. Hey, if you were this, you get to walk out tomorrow. Like,
right.
No. That's not how it works. Even though like a lot of people are getting arrested. This year and last year, the judges were like just so overwhelmed with work. Like,
exactly.
They just quickly knock. All right. Yeah. Fine. Go next.
Right.
Next.
We're still in a panorama after all.
Exactly. And now with the whole thing with immigration, they're probably going to change like how most of these judges are going around those cases. So I can imagine how they're going around with these cases, especially for the people that are still in prison for petty stuff like 3 ounces of the marijuana in the
property. Right, possession, all that stuff. But it is said that those people with those kind of charges, they are going to get off, but it's like you said, we don't know when. There's not a good time duration of when that's actually going to happen. So you make an absolutely great point. Also, I will say this, due to marijuana being legal now, the freaking tax revenue is going to be insane, up to like 9 figures, I believe. I believe at least 100 million, 350 million in tax revenue. And what they're going to do with some of that money is they're going to allocate some of those funds back into black and brown communities, which I think is dope. At least 40% of that tax revenue is going to go into small black and brown communities. So I'm happy about that, at least.
To do what? That's what I would like to know.
That's a good question, too. I don't know. They didn't say what. They just said
urban development.
Maybe urban development, maybe gentrification. I don't know.
See, that's how they get you. Say, we'll put it back in community. We gave you $10,000 to get out.
Maybe.
Shoot. On a new place.
Shoot, that's what happened around Barclays.
That's what I mean. We gave everybody a check. Like, how much you need? $20,000 just to get out. You know, $20,000 is not... It's not enough to find a place.
It's not at all. You can get by on getting an apartment, or you could get by just having a roommate for a while. But other than that, nah, homie, that ain't it. Especially here in New York. That ain't it. Better get
$15 an hour is still not enough to live like you don't have to look over your shoulder life.
Right. I think we talked about this last week. You need at least $70,000.
Yeah, to have a good time.
Yeah.
Because you're definitely not cooking. That most New York City apartments' kitchens are pretty small.
Hell
so.
Yeah, bruh.
No room for cutting carrots.
And there's a median of like $2,000 for an apartment now.
Yeah, especially if you want a nice view. Mm. Or you could just pay $200 less for a beautiful view for the next building right next to you.
Word. But you know, that's not how gentrifiers work, man. They want to live that Sex in the City friend's life. You know what I'm saying?
No, gentrifiers have to, like, well, it'll be like one window that faces outside, but then the window on the left and the window on the right.
It's right across the street from the projects.
Or from just another tall building.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could, like, those big, tall skyscrapers in Manhattan, most of them are like, oh, I paid $8 million for this apartment, like, back in 2009. So, all right, great. Mm-hmm. Now in 2020, they build another building right next in front of them, so they lost their entire view.
Right.
So it's like that $8 million just went down to, like, $5 because you lost the view.
Shoot, I'm looking at some high skyscraper apartments right now right in front of me. And I think it's hilarious because just a couple blocks down, you're going to be in Gowanus Projects. So I just think it's all hilarious to me. And you're still in the hood, too, low-key, because, like, downtown Brooklyn, like 10 years ago, it wasn't that safe to go around downtown Brooklyn like that.
That's why the poverty value went up. Word. It's slightly safer. No, we walked around that.
Hell yeah, bro.
We weren't walking around too much, but I've been around the neighborhood like at 4 a.m. and stuff.
Exactly. You've been around here for at least like, what, 3 years now? 4 years? So, you know, yeah. It gets a bit, you know, you got to be aware of certain things that happens.
Nothing is really happening, but if you look like you get robbed, you will get robbed. That's just the way it works.
That's true. It's happened to the best of us. It's happened to the best of us. It's okay.
It's a luck thing.
Okay. If someone asks you the time, just tell them the time. Don't look at your phone.
Hey, you don't need the time. You ain't going nowhere. You're joking.
Yo, speaking of time, I was cleaning out my room the other day, and I found the Krusty the Crown Simpsons talking watch from Burger King.
Really?
Yeah.
That's dusty.
It is dusty, but you know, it's crazy.
Does it work?
It still works. Like, it still tells time.
I'm pretty sure those watches didn't have, like, a solar battery to it, too.
It was 2002, man. Of course not.
For those plastic kids. That's crazy. That's still working. That's impossible.
It still works, bro.
I had Timex watches that kind of, like, would get, like, no sunlight or no... Because you got to shake it in order for it to work.
Okay.
That's how they know it's, like, keep clicking. If you put a watch, like, under your bed for, like, 2 months, it would just stop working.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. So...
Mm-hmm. But the crappy thing is, it doesn't talk anymore. That's the only downer.
I'm not surprised. The mic is just, speaker's just dead.
Yeah, speaker's dead, man. It's been like, what, 17 years now? It's over.
You probably like open it.
Yeah.
And, like, just check the inside of it.
Yeah, I think I can.
Or to fix it.
So, you want to get into Song of the Week, or do you want to talk about how Fox is getting sued?
Hey, let's get into the Song of the Week.
All right.
I want to know what you're playing for this subject matter.
Song of the Week, man. It goes to one of the kings, the cannabis kings of this past generation of the 2010s. He's from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He goes by the name of Mr. Wiz Khalifa. And back then, Wiz Khalifa was popping in these streets, okay? He had Cushion OJ.
Still is.
Nah, man. No, he's not, because you know why? I remember 10 years ago, I didn't forget about this bashing. Y'all remember when dudes used to grow out their hair and dye a freaking patch in their hair like Wiz Khalifa?
I didn't forget that.
No, they do not.
They still do.
I do not see that as prevalent anymore. No way, they do not.
Just because it's not happening in New York City doesn't mean it hasn't stopped anywhere else. It still happens.
That's not the look now, bro.
Wiz Khalifa is still hot in the streets. I'm letting you know this right now. As someone that was a huge Wiz Khalifa fan back in the day, and sometimes I hop back to see what's going on, he's still huge.
Wiz Khalifa's still a star, don't get me wrong, but
he's still huge.
He's not like 50 Cent level anymore. He's not at the height of his career anymore.
He was never there.
No, but I'm saying in a fact where Wiz Khalifa was everywhere. Like, Wiz Khalifa was everywhere. All the kids wanted to look like Wiz Khalifa. Everyone was a damn stoner like Wiz Khalifa. Everyone tried to freaking laugh like Wiz Khalifa. Everyone wanted Khalifa Kush. That's died down a bit.
Because the pandemic, bro. Anyways, let's get to your song. I promise. I will die on this hill saying Wiz Khalifa is still as popular
I love Wiz Khalifa. And plus,
even more popular than before.
And plus, I already said it, 420, I wanted the battle to be Wiz Khalifa versus Currency. But also, back in 2011, Wiz Khalifa partnered up with the OG stoner, Mr. Snoop Dogg, when they made Mac and Devin Go to High School. Do you remember that album?
Yeah, I remember the movie.
Did you see the movie?
No, why would I want to see Snoop Dogg play a 16-year-old?
He wasn't 16. He played a 40-year-old in high school.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was legit his character.
I really forgot the plot for that movie.
Yeah, basically Snoop Dogg was like this mega super TurboGrafx edition senior. And he was like 40 years old, still in high school, still a senior. And then he befriends Wiz Khalifa, who was this square. Then he takes him around the hood. He introduces him to weed. He takes him to a strip club. He bangs some strippers. And yeah, he stops being a square. And he's a certified stoner and friends with Snoop Dogg. The movie was awful, by the way. It sucked. Like, the shooting was terrible. It was definitely a B film. But yeah. I still enjoyed it, you know? I like how bad it was. It was so bad, it's good. But one of my favorite tracks from that album was That Good. So stay tuned. Thank y'all so much again. You're tuning into Black Seinfeld, Show About Nothing.
No seeds, just Al Green.
Always gotta keep one more.
I keep that, need that, got that.
I'm blowing every gram or
that perp, that bomb, that kush.
Gotta understand, they know. I smoke that fire, that good, that good, that.
Concentrated, every day I'm faded. Trees prepared and properly cultivated. I nursed them, sprayed down, no chemicals. Just me and my buddy. You hear me now? Never treat you wrong, to each his own. Snoop and Wiz, the new Cheech and Chong. We up in smoke, making street schemes. Smoking sticky green, having sweet dreams. Break it down, put it in the Z-I-Zag. And pour the top back, and let that drag. Hit the switch, quickest way to get him. Executive branch, get a whiff of this. Black car, sack of dank. High school, what the fuck you think? I'm passing on my classes with flying colors. And every day I'm high as
I'm smoking everywhere I go.
No sticks, no seeds, just Al Green.
Always gotta keep one more.
I keep that, need that, got that.
I'm blowing every gram or
that perp, that bomb, that kush.
Gotta understand, they know. I smoke that fire, that good, that good, that.
Some roof open, smoking while I'm rolling. My b****s only notice it if it's potent. Bottle of Perignon, we could go kick it by the ocean. Get in between your legs, join roaches and ashes all in your bed. You calling her babe, she called me instead. Cause I put that game all in her head. Saw the crib, she know that I'm balling. When he ain't have nothing, they used to stall him. Now I'm with the boss, dog, all of that. Want him in my pockets on swole. I'm talking Rick Ross big. Now when we shop, we don't care what the cost is. Rolling up good, smoking that bomb. Blow a OZ. That's boundish. Now she all man, rubber bands in my pocket. Getting money, going hard for my profit. Bad keep a joint stuffed like stockings. Young are getting bread, why not get?
Yeah. No sticks, no seeds, just Al Green.
Always gotta keep one more.
I keep that, need that, got that.
I'm blowing every gram or
that perp, that bomb, that kush.
You gotta understand, they know. I smoke that fire, that go, go, you to high school. We do just what we like to. We cordially invite you. Now roll up and get high to it. We welcome you to high school. We do just what we like to. We cordially invite you. Now roll up and get high to it. Get high to it.
I'm smoking everywhere I go. No sticks, no seeds, just Al Green.
Always gotta keep one roll.
I keep that, need that, got that.
I'm blowing every gram or
that perp, that bomb, that kush.
You gotta understand, they know. I smoke that fire, that good, that good, that.
Wiz Khalifa, Snoop Dogg, Mac and Dre go to high school. Smoking everywhere I go. That was that good. Bastion, did that take you back to your high school years?
Yeah, I am very familiar with this song. And I, as I'm listening to the song, I could see the whole entire music video.
Yeah. Music video was tight.
I thought that beat was crazy good.
Oh, man, it's so vibey. It's definitely then very stoner-like.
I just remember the album. I didn't like it.
Yeah, I mean,
a lot of skips.
Definitely a lot of skips, but it had two bangers in there. Young, Wild, and Free featuring Bruno Mars. That was still, that's honestly still one of my songs, favorite songs of the decade. That was like an anthem for me. Young and wild and free. That's, there you go, man. You're looking confused there, buddy.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember it.
So what, we get drunk.
Oh, that's, so yeah, that song
we
was
smoke
garbage.
What? Stop. That song was not garbage. That was the most feel-good song ever when
more
it came
mid.
Out.
More mid. More mid.
It was not mid, bro. See, this was back when you were in your, oh, you all are all plebes and I'm this.
No, this
I have
is
a
before.
Partridge tongue.
This is probably a year because I would like, we were like the correspondent. Maybe after the Watch of Thrones came out. Then I was just embedded into listening to other stuff. So, yeah.
That came out the same year. You do know this, right?
It did?
Yes, Bastion.
I guess it was the same year.
Okay, then.
It was definitely after Watch the Throne.
Okay, Watch the Throne came out November. This came out December. I know what I'm talking about here. All right?
Pretty sure the single came out earlier, but sure. Okay.
Of course, yes. The single did come out earlier. Came out summertime-ish. But the album itself came out in December.
I think I'm just lapsing my time then.
It's okay. But that song was great, man. It was just a fun song. I didn't take it seriously. It was just like a nice, fun time. It was a song about celebrating your youth, Bastion. Okay? We don't have that much time left, all right? We're about to be 30 soon.
Yeah, man. So within that time, I do recommend people to check out Black Seinfeld at blackseinfeld.com.
Hey.
And we're on social media. We're on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Black Seinfeld NY. And if you have any questions about what we discussed today or any of our older episodes, please email us at blackseinfeldny@gmail.com. And over the week, throughout the week, we'll be dropping episodes from this. We'll be dropping videos of this episode on our YouTube channel.
Shout out to the YouTube
viewers. Black
Seinfeld.
We're trying to bring our subscribers up, so please subscribe and watch.
That's
it's
right.
Not enough, it's not enough to subscribe. It's good to watch as well.
Exactly.
The formula and the, you know,
algorithms and all
works.
That. Help us reach our milestone of 1,000 subscribers. Please hit that bell notification icon to get all of the latest updates of uploads. It's about different clips within the show that we've discussed. But don't you worry, because we also upload the full episode as well. So you can listen to it in its full entirety without the music.
So you can see how we look and how we do our discussions over the interwebs.
We have a lot of similarities. We're both wearing hats. We both wear glasses. We both have beards. Kind of crazy.
Yeah, if you think about COVID stuff. I used to keep my stuff clean. You know that.
That
you
is
used to
true.
Keep your stuff clean too.
Yeah, and then I grew a beard during COVID and I never looked back, because all the women were like, yo, gee, you got to keep the beard, because the beard, it's like the peppercorn flakes on a slice. You feel me? It adds a bit of
not
depth and flavor. What? What do you mean you're not a fan of peppercorn flakes?
No, peppercorn flakes are mid.
So what do you put on in your slice? You don't do anything? You just fold and eat?
Hey. So some places, here, there's two things now.
Okay.
Some places like Danny's Pizza, all in Kew Gardens, you don't need anything.
You swear by this place.
I swear by the place 24/7, forever. I go there with my friends, like, yo, going to Danny's, they know exactly where it is, they know where to meet me. Danny's Pizza, I don't need anything.
Do they know your order?
One plain slice of pizza. What?
Oh, they know your order. Okay. I'm just saying, like,
they'll know my order.
Oh,
I don't
go
there all the time.
Oh, you suck.
Like, no, I can't eat cheese like that. So
I figured since you've been going there for a minute, you know, they know your face. Okay, boom.
No. I spent like years not going there, then going back. Because the whole thing about having a spot, you want a spot that can beat that spot. So you go to other pizza places eating their pizza, and it's just not as good. Just disappointed. And also because you're comparing it to something else. So I'm a big fan of the sweet sauce. But anyways, going back to your question, I don't like adding anything. But if I'm in a place that sucks, garlic.
Okay. Garlic's not bad. What about oregano?
Oregano's all right. I don't know. Maybe it's just in my mind, but I don't think I taste anything.
With oregano?
Does oregano have flavor?
It has a little bit of oomph to it,
What is it? Describe it.
The flavor of oregano?
Damn, yeah.
You put me on the spot.
What is it?
It smells like pizza, honestly.
No, it has texture. That's what oregano tastes like, texture.
It just tastes like
because texture. I put too much oregano in my sauce, in my like pasta sauce once, and it just like ruined it.
Okay.
Because you're eating it. But I put it on pizza, I'm eating it, expecting to taste something. It's just not it. I don't know.
You just taste matter.
I don't taste anything. I tasted the oil on the bottom of the pizza, bro.
Okay, fair enough. Me, I like to put peppercorn flakes. That's just me. I like to add a little spice. And I don't like sweet sauce. I don't like sweet tomato sauce. I can't stand it on pizza. I like savory. I don't like sweet at all. I don't know. I feel like to me, pizzas should not have a sweet taste to it. I like savory.
I know what you mean, because other sweet sauces aren't as good as Danny's, in my opinion, because it's still savory.
It's sweet and savory.
It's able to give you that, like, the aftertaste is sweet, but the bite within itself is savory.
Mmm. Okay.
That's the way I look at it. And it's also, like, the only pizza I can eat cold, so.
True.
But I'm a pineapple guy in pizza, so.
Oh,
so people know.
You actually like pineapple on pizza. Okay.
Yeah. Pineapple with like a type of ham together. Perfect.
So Hawaiian pizza.
Perfect. It's the best. You know, I make it myself.
Mm-hmm.
Hey. The more, you know, when you get the pineapple out of the can and it's like syrup.
Yes.
Even better.
Like the Dole.
Yep.
Got you. Okay. Yeah, I actually like pineapple on pizza. I don't think it's a huge deal, guys, but I don't get it regularly. If I do get pineapple on pizza, for me, it's pineapple and jalapenos, so you get that salty, spicy, and sweet action.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Not too crazy on jalapenos, but I do know what you mean. Like, I tried it before, and I spicy and hot. You like spicy food, though.
Listen, it's the Indian-ness in me.
Here's another recommendation. Mike's Hot Honey.
Hot Honey?
On pizza.
Huh.
I had that the other day. It was delicious. I was surprised. It was just perfect.
Do you dip the crust in it too, I'm assuming?
No, it was on top.
Huh.
Yeah, I went to a restaurant with my friends.
Mm.
And one of the pizza was like a white pizza.
Yeah.
And they put Mike's Hot Honey on top of it with sausage. And it was just really good. And it's funny because when I pointed it out to my friends, they're like, oh, like, what? I don't want that. It's okay. And I told the guy we're going to order it. And everybody loved it.
Yeah. You know, it's a Caribbean thing to put sauces on the pizza. I don't know if you realize this. Over in Trinidad, people will put hot sauce, ketchup, all that stuff on pizza, and it will slap.
That's just ill. Ketchup?
I know it sounds sacrilegious. Listen, I know it sounds crazy.
Sauce is enough.
But trust me, over in the Caribbean, that's how we do it. And it actually
pizza
does slap.
Pizza is mid over there.
Listen, pizza is mid in a lot of places, all right? I'm just going to keep it straight up, all right? There's a lot of places that don't have great pizza, okay? There's only a few spots, all right? Jersey's one of them. Philly, y'all okay? That's about it. Chicago.
When I went to Italy.
Well, that doesn't count, Bastion.
They have pocket pizzas.
That's like saying, yo, you know what? Beef patties are trash, but you know who has the best beef patties? Jamaica. We know, okay? We know.
They sell pocket pizzas. That's what locals eat. They don't eat pizza. They eat pocket pizza.
Yeah.
It's just folded up.
Yeah, so. and you don't feel bloated afterwards, right, Bash?
Yeah, the best. Never feel bloated.
Word.
Never that.
Facts, bro. Facts.
Never bloated like Steve Harvey.
Listen, don't do that to Steve. We not doing that to Steve because Steve Harvey
purple drapes
was a great host for the Easter edition of Versus, which to me is probably, it's up there, probably going to be one of the best Versus battles that has ever happened. And for those of you who do not know what the Versus was, it was the Isley Brothers versus the elements of Earth, Wind, and Fire. And a lot of improvements happened during this battle because I was very critical of the last Wu-Tang battle. I talked about how Versus likes doing first times ever, and I felt like the Wu-Tang battle could have been that stratosphere of going into a new direction because they signed a deal with Triller. Last year, they stepped up their game with Beanie Man and Bounty Killer being one of the first acts to have both acts in the same room with their separate DJs doing a traditional Jamaican style clash, right? Because that's what a Versus is based off of. It's based off of the dancehall clashes, right? And then when they signed their deal over with Apple Music and Apple TV, you got the HD version of Versus. So if you want, you don't have to go on Instagram anymore to see all the comments scroll up in the low quality. No, you can go on Apple Music, Apple TV, you get an HD camera, you get high quality music too, right? And I felt like with Versus going to the Triller app, I felt like they did a real disservice to me, at least me just being that, me being critical. I felt like they could have done a bit better on the production side of things, and I felt like they could have done better on a marketing side of things as well, because no one really knew this thing happened in the first place. But
and you're talking about the Wu-Tang.
And I'm talking about the Wu-Tang Raekwon and Ghostface battle. And because we saw, after what we saw happen with Versus on Easter Sunday, you know damn well now they could have done the tag team battle that I kept complaining about for like 2 weeks. They could have done it, and if it was possible. All right, so now let's get into the Versus battle of the century, okay? First things first, the production. Multiple camera angles. Oh, the freaking, the image quality was great. I think the DJ D-Nice, who I think this is great how life comes in full circle, because just a year ago, D-Nice started his Club Quarantine DJ mix. You know, he was one of the few DJs that just started doing sets on his IG Live, and to have him there in person doing his set, I thought that was a great addition. Having the first ever host, having a first ever Versus host in Steve Harvey, I thought in the beginning, I'm not going to lie, all right, I thought Steve was talking too much, but you know, as the night progressed, I felt like this was great because you could tell that Steve Harvey was a huge fan of both Earth, Wind & Fire and the Isley Brothers. And it's pretty evident that it seems like they're cool. Like, they're friends, too.
Yeah, he was telling some interesting and great stories about more like the atmosphere or the time, or like what was going on between like when certain songs came out. Because it was only funny, it's like, oh, this song came out when I was 2 years old or 9 years old. It's like, yes, Steve Harvey is a much older gentleman. Mm-hmm. And these guys have been making music for over 6 years.
Exactly.
So I was like, yeah, it's only been like 60 years. Like, come on, bro. That's yikes. That's two generations right there.
Right. I think how did you feel about Steve Harvey consistently doing the uncle-y thing at barbecues, talking about how the younger generation doesn't know much about good music? How did you feel about that?
I thought he played it safe because mm-hmm. he did talk about how great hip hop is mm-hmm. and how it's been great for like the community, and also how a lot of people made a lot of money off of hip hop as well. Mm-hmm. Which so I'm not saying that he was dissing music of today.
He was just throwing his little jabs.
He was throwing small, like, you know, visible jabs, mm-hmm. talking about it's just not the same. He brought up hip hop,
or this is real music.
Yeah, it's real music.
What y'all know about that? This is real music. This is real music that talks about, you know, how to treat a lady. You know,
yeah.
Talking about how to talk sweet and nice to a lady, not all that X, Y, and Z.
Because the Isley Brothers, if I remember, they're talking about one of their songs is saying they're trying to like show appreciation when they're
to
writing
women. Yeah.
To women.
Right.
And that's when he kind of talked about hip hop, because I think he wanted to talk about like, oh, you know, they're just saying B word this, B word that. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was pretty interesting, because one thing I know listening to music for a pretty long time and doing research in the background of samples that rappers would use. Mm-hmm. Because the people that are sampling know what music is. It's hard to sample. You have to actually know what you're listening to if you want to sample it.
Right.
So they know that the live instruments is what makes music. Of course, I could compare it to like maybe trap music today. They don't use any drop of live instruments.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to, like, for example, just for the audience to know, you listen to like Common's third album, the one Ye produced, or even like early Kanye West or Just Blaze music. You could feel that a live instrument could play that song.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to today, it's like, how are you going to have a live instrument play a trap song? Right? Unless it's going to be a guitar playing the bass line for, you know, I can imagine it for a 21 Savage song.
True.
But you know, it's just not the same. Hence, it's not real music. It's like, you know, it's still music. It's just no one's blood and soul is pricking on the string for like 3 hours just to get the bass line right.
That, and to me, at least, I feel like I wouldn't expect the older generation to like some of this new music because it's a different time. Different slang, different environment. And yeah, I think when it comes to modern music, let's call it, right, I feel like there's a time and place for everything, right? I feel like the music that the older generation hears, right, I think it is a lot of like the trap music and all that stuff. And I totally understand why they would criticize that kind of quote unquote music, right? But also, we do have music of substance, right? But they just never want to hear it. Such as Kendrick Lamar.
Hey, I knew you were going to say Kendrick Lamar.
Of course, you got to say. The man's a Pulitzer Prize winner. You have your J. Cole's.
But what's important with that conversation is where the music is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way, like, unless you have an open parent or someone that you're connected to and you're playing music for them and you're explaining the song to them and you're like, okay, I get it. But some people don't have that type of time. So where are they listening to music? On TV or on the radio?
Right.
They can watch an award show.
Or just by walking by and hearing Up by Cardi B.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Right? It's like that's where they're going to listen to their stuff. Of course, radio is as bad as it was back then.
Of course.
They play what's popular.
Exactly. And they played every freaking hour. Like, I remember today in the car, mm-hmm. I heard Cardi B's Up like 3 different times in the span of an hour.
And, you know, I like Cardi B. She's cool, but Up is not. It's not it.
Good
right?
song the first listen, but after the fifth listen, I got tired of it quick.
So you have to kind of imagine, this is another random conversation piece, when like the Isley Brothers or Earth, Wind & Fire, when they're making a song, that sounds good and mm-hmm. it's a hit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cardi B making that song, I don't think it's going to lead into an album, but she needed the song to stay in the conversation, right? That's mm-hmm. that's the way making music works. So we got to be repetitive, it has to be interesting. Of course, their songs are like 7 minutes. Cardi B song, I'm pretty sure it's like, what?
Two minutes, 30 seconds, which is another critique about modern music. Older music, they have the extended cut for like 7.5 minutes. Meanwhile, our music is only like 2.5 minutes.
Oh, damn. It really is 2 minutes and 35 seconds.
See? Told you.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hate that. But that's, let me see what WAP is. WAP is also, WAP is like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
It's 3 minutes. And so, I mean,
yeah,
it's
but
like,
a lot of the sweet spot songs now are about 2 minutes and 30 seconds. You know, Montero is like 2 minutes, 30 seconds.
Yeah. Right. And those are our singles. This is, you know, as I said, many of our episodes before, we're going back to the old school singles.
Mm-hmm.
Sooner or later, we're going to go back to the 6-7 minutes. But as of right now, the 2-3 minutes are dominating because it's easier to make money mm-hmm. off of it. But in terms of like what's real music to them, like what do they consider like real music? Is it the live instruments?
Yeah.
Or what they consider as a good single, as in something repetitive and good to dance to.
And the lyrics.
And the lyrics. The lyrics are always there, but good music, lyrics do carry, but sometimes no one's really paying attention to lyrics. It's just good music. And that's mm-hmm. something Steve Harvey was saying. It's like, it could be any type of genre, but there's like good music.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't even know what they're saying. You go listen to Japanese music, you have no idea. You go listen to Brazilian music, you have no idea what you're saying. It's the number one hit single. You listen to it, you like it. right? Same thing with Bad Bunny, right? When he first came out and songs were all Spanish.
Oh, man. Bad Bunny was dope. I remember the first time I heard Bad Bunny back in 2016.
Good music.
He was tight. He still is good.
Good music. So that's something that Steve Harvey was saying throughout the whole thing. Like, people know what good music is. Mm-hmm. Hence, that's why someone that's been listening to like rap music all our lives, when you listen to the Isley Brothers or you listen to Earth, Wind, Fire, you could pick out songs. It's like, right. I heard this this song interpolated by this artist many years ago. So like, exactly. Oh, it's cool listening to the full song, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You heard the full song before, but yeah.
Exactly. But we heard it through a different lens, mm-hmm. right? I remember the first time I heard some of the Isley Brothers, like, classic hits such as Between the Sheets and Footsteps in the Dark, and you know, listening to like the first notes, I'm thinking, oh, this is probably gonna be like Today's a Good Day from Ice Cube, or it's gonna be Big Papa from Biggie. And then when I hear the original version, I'm like, oh,
or what? Like the Thundercat song,
right? Exactly. And I'm like, yo, what the hell is this? And I'm like, damn, this is pretty good, right? And see, hip-hop people, all right, it takes homage to a lot of these artists. Okay, I remember we had this conversation before of sampling, and I wonder how the older generation feels about the usage of samples in songs that they grew up to and versus the songs that we grew up to. For example, Mary Jane by Rick James, which is a song about weed, by the way. Y'all criticizing us about drugs. They were singing about drugs too back then. And then Jennifer Lopez and Ja Rule with I'm Real.
I'm Real?
Yeah.
Oh, because he used the same beat.
Right.
So it's interesting because the younger people, especially if they don't have parents or older guardians that will play their music, their own music, their favorite songs to the younger generation, they won't know it.
Exactly.
Right? They just won't know. I know some songs because my parents will play like Neil Diamond or something.
Right. And you have to clean on Saturdays and they'll play the old school music.
Yeah. So I'm aware. So it's probably going to be the same thing in the future if we had kids. Like, we're just going to play, like, yeah, I'm going to play Late Registration. Right. I won't explain it to them. Right. I won't say this is real music because I think it's arrogant. Right.
Ooh.
And I think,
oh, you hear that? It's arrogant.
And I think that whatever they're going to like, they're going to say, oh, yeah, I remember listening to this. Like, mm-hmm. my parent used to play this, but I like this, you know?
Right.
As long as you show appreciation to what they're listening to, they'll show appreciation to what you're listening to.
And we are here to say that, listen, we have so much appreciation for that battle between Earth, Wind, and Fire and the Isley Brothers. And in my opinion, it's probably the best battle that Versus has ever done. It's top five easily. I can see why people will argue that this is going to be their number one versus battle of all time. For me, because I'm biased, I'm still going to give it up to the Caribbeans. I'm going Beanie Man, Bouncy Killer. But this is a strong two, okay? And the fact that this was the first versus battle that went for 4 hours long, people. 4 hours long of straight hits. Straight bangers, okay? I was shocked at how many songs from each group I knew. I was shocked at that, Bastion. I'm not gonna lie.
I think I know certain Earth, Wind, and Fire albums,
mm-hmm.
but I definitely knew a lot of the Isley Brothers music.
Yes, because they're one of the most sampled acts in hip-hop.
Yeah. And there was a time where I actually went back to listen to their music. I think back in maybe it was like 2010 or 2011, mm-hmm. or most likely 2011. Where I just found their discography, listening to it on YouTube, watching the music videos because they're playing their instruments live.
Right.
And it's much
difficult. Ernie was crazy, bruh. Ernie on the guitar that whole 4 hours, he was killing it, bruh. Like,
he was ready.
Oh, man. He was freaking licking the guitar, too. He was playing the guitar with his tongue. He played it behind the back. He was going crazy, shredding, hitting them chords, hitting them riffs. Bruh. He was awesome.
That's like beyond expert level, because when you're getting older,
I mean, 50 years, damn right, it's beyond expert level. This man is a master.
Because I remember B.B. King before he passed away, and he was doing concerts.
Yeah.
He couldn't really play the guitar anymore. He would have someone else play for him, And if he did, he could only play a couple of notes or like maybe one song, but then that's it. You just could no longer hold a guitar.
Yeah.
So that's just same thing with Miles Davis.
Really?
His trumpet. Yeah, at a certain point in time, he could not play any of his music that he's known for. And he even said it. I remember watching the documentary. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
When he was getting to know the newer artists, because he likes playing with them, so slower, a little bit more interesting. He said, and they asked him, like, hey, would you want to play one of the older songs? He said, man, if I play that, it will kill me.
Yeah, you know, now that you mention it, I remember in watching the Quincy Jones documentary on Netflix, I think he developed an aneurysm for, like, playing the trumpet too much, and he had to give up playing the trumpet or else it would literally kill him.
Really?
Yeah, like, it popped a blood vessel in his brain, and he couldn't play anymore afterwards.
Oh. It's a powerful instrument. It's difficult.
Yeah.
You know, you're blowing, you're putting your chest, you're even if you look at him playing, it's like, it looks like he's just going to blow his brain out.
Yeah.
It's a very powerful instrument. So for him, and if you listen to his old music, he was like really playing quick with it, his fingers moving, blasting. So no way as an older person could you play the instrument at that level. So for him to play the guitar at that level, and it's like, wow. This is crazy.
So I had this tweet that went viral-ish. I mean, it's not viral because viral is like 100,000 likes, 200,000 likes. But I got a good amount of likes. I'm not going to lie. I was pretty excited for myself because my phone kept vibrating off the hook all night. It has almost 4,000 likes. And I said that this battle exudes black excellence. And it goes to show how much of the past helped influence and shape some of the best records in hip-hop, in movies, and hell, in black culture. And I was like, damn, why am I tearing up? And that legit happened because I remember Tupac's line in Keep Your Head Up. And he was like, I remember listening to Marvin Gaye used to sing to me. And he had me feeling like black was the thing to be. That was how I felt when I was watching this battle. Because of, you know, the fact that black music is very much so American music. And without the black imprint on American culture, there is no American culture. Due to so many songs that I've heard that I didn't know that was from either Earth, Wind & Fire or the Isley Brothers. Not just in music, but like in commercials, in movies. Like, for example, In the Stone, right? Which is a big staple in HBCUs and marching bands, right? The first time I remember hearing that was in Drumline. You remember that?
No, so, I haven't watched the movie in a while, right, but so, if I listen to it, I'll remember.
So Dr. Lee, played by Orlando Jones, he was like the main orchestrator. Is that a word? He was the main leader of the band, right? He was the dude with the baton or whatever, waving, giving the directions, right? And he was like, yo, the first song we're going to play is by Earth, Wind, and Fire. And then, you know, once he started, it was that song. Back in 2002, people.
One of the first songs I remember that they played was Hello, It's Me.
Mm.
And I remember listening. I don't remember where I heard it. I think it's probably one of those, like, top 40 collection CDs of the past that they used to sell like nonsense, and they still do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where I heard that song for. But also, what kind of reminded me of that song even further back, maybe like 2 or 3 years ago, Erykah Badu with her EP, The Phone EP. The last track she did with Andre 3000. But she would say, instead of girl, it's squirrel. So just for you to remember the song, it's the last track. So I was like, oh, wow. I kind of forgot she kind of did a little remix to that song as well.
Yeah.
But here's one thing I learned that I didn't know. And I always hate learning this.
What's that?
At your best, you are loved.
Mm-hmm.
I really thought that was an Aaliyah song.
Yeah.
Really thought that was an Aaliyah song because Frank Ocean did that cover. And it's like, oh, Frank Ocean did an Aaliyah cover. It's like, no. He did the Isley Brother cover.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? It's crazy how we find music, man, because we think one artist, you know, did that song or created that sound, but no, they got it from somewhere else. You know what I mean? Like, for example, I didn't know the Isley Brothers did Shout. I didn't know that. You know you make me wanna shout, put my hands up and shout.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't know that, okay? I've heard different iterations of that song. Of course, I know the Caribbean version. I know the Trini version, the Soca version of that song. Okay, you make me wanna... That one. Okay, y'all know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was from the Isley Brothers. That's crazy.
It's like Whitney Houston stealing I Will Always Love You.
From Dolly Parton. Like
it's a Dolly Parton song. It's like,
exactly.
What?
Yeah. Right. You would never think about that.
What a beautiful check.
Yo, Dolly Parton, whenever she's asked about the Whitney Houston version of that song, she always brings up the check.
Yeah, it's a good check. It's her song now.
It is.
But the check is good.
And rightfully so.
Yeah. Whitney Houston was killing everybody else's songs. Like, oh, this is my version.
Definitely.
I'll make the version even better.
Exactly.
So good they forgot your version.
And, hey, I'm not even going to lie. I heard the Dolly Parton version. And guess what? It's a good version.
Oh, yeah. It's great. Dolly Parton.
But, man, it doesn't have ish on that Whitney version. Oh my God, it doesn't. Like, it just doesn't, man. Because of the soul. The soul.
I want to say vocal. Yeah, the vocal length or vocal control.
Yeah.
That Whitney Houston had as an artist is just so different.
Real quick, man, we got to talk about the years and decades in which the Isley Brothers were able to cross over too, because we know the Isley Brothers, specifically Ron Isley, as Mr. Biggs. And I was kind of shocked. Well, there was a bit of controversy that happened where he decided to play some of Mr. Biggs' catalog. And the reason why it's so controversial is because of the person who wrote it. It's the same person who wrote a lot of ballads, such as I Believe I Can Fly and Step in the Name of Love. He definitely lended a hand to Ron Isley, a.k.a. Mr. Biggs, in certain songs like Contagious and Busted, and he played those songs during the battle, and boy, oh boy, if you can see the comments were a bit like, ugh, okay, this is what we're doing. Everyone started to clench their teeth a little bit because we sort of canceled R. Kelly.
Oh, yeah, and it kind of shows back to the conversation to separate the artist from the music.
Right.
It's like, this is one of his, because the whole thing for the verses, the best 20 hits. Oh, so, okay. So this is one of the biggest hits.
Yeah.
Happens to be someone that we no longer care or appreciate anymore.
And this is how we, our generation was introduced to the Isley Brothers. This is how we were introduced to them.
Yeah. We're introduced by the artists of today showing respect.
Yeah.
To the people in the past.
Exactly.
And I don't know, maybe he felt obligated to play that certain song because he got him into the eyes of the newer generation.
Definitely.
But at the same time, it's like, yo, man, like, play.
To be fair, we did not hear R. Kelly in any of the songs.
It's easy to skip.
It's easy to skip.
D-Nice knows better.
Exactly. And I'm not going to lie, hearing those songs again, I forgot how hard they went. I'm not going to lie.
Dude,
those
all
songs
them are amazing.
Absolutely slapped.
They're going to have a versus battle with like...
the forbidden versus battles.
Forbidden versus battles.
Just battles of celebrities or musical artists that we've canceled.
What's Master P's brother's name that was in jail right now?
Oh, C-Murder?
C-Murder versus R. Kelly. Let's go.
Yo, yikes. Well, you already know who's winning that off-ramp. But anyways.
Yeah.
I just can't stop gushing about how great this battle was. It was just so good, man. It was so good. Again, 4 hours long, people. And I stayed up through that entire battle. It was great from beginning to end. Even with Steve Harvey interrupting and having conversations, which he kind of took offense to, okay? Because he, I guess, during the break, like he saw what people were saying or what Black Twitter was saying on Twitter about how Steve Harvey should stop talking because it's not about him, it's about the musical acts, and he addressed it. I thought that was great. And Black Twitter shut up. They shut up.
I thought he was necessary.
I did too.
I think he's not necessary for the people that live through it, But he wasn't necessary for us, the people that just like watch it like a documentary and say, oh, I can only imagine.
Right.
If I, you know, like for me, like recently and watching the Bee Gees documentary on HBO, I was like, wow, Bee Gees were killing everybody. What is going on? They're writing music for everybody. So I can only imagine like being a Bee Gees fan at the time of their prime. But no, I can only imagine.
Right. Yeah, man. So just again, great battle. One of the best ever. Probably going to be the best battle of 2021. I don't think anything is going to top it. I'm sorry. That's just how I feel. No one's going to top it at all. Next versus battle is going to be 420. That is on a Tuesday, April 20th. That is Hitler's birthday. Just letting y'all know.
Big yikes.
Big yikes.
Big yikes.
And it's going to be Redman versus Method Man. The How High duo is battling each other. So, I don't know. Hopefully, it's good. I'll watch it. Bastion, are you going to tune in?
I'll try to remember to tune in. I do like a lot of Redman's music, especially in the early days. He's just chilling right now. You know, he's still chilling in the same spot.
Right, in Jersey?
In Staten Island.
Oh, that's where he did Cribs, and his doorbell wasn't working, so he said, yo, you got to rub these two wires together to make the doorbell work. That was classic.
My favorite part is like a couple years later, they did the same spot. And it's not like he bought a new house. He just upgraded that same house.
Good. And he got a doorbell.
And he got a doorbell and it works this time.
Good. I like Redman. He's just staying true to him. You know what I mean? He doesn't spend big. He's living in the same house. He's a hell of a humble dude. And I respect that. That's still one of the best Cribs episodes ever.
Oh, respect.
Respect. Shout out to
the
Redman.
Yin Yang Twins was like iconic because
I thought that was a good one too. You're right. Oh, and Mariah Carey for going in that bubble bath.
Oh yeah.
That was
a classic.
Off
with that.
Yeah. Shout out to Cribs. But you know what I realized, man, because you know they always like to break TV magic. A lot of those houses weren't even theirs. Except for like Redman and Mariah Carey. But a lot of those
like 50 Cent.
Yeah. Exactly. Like they actually lived. Yeah, they actually lived in those. But certain celebrities, nah, bro, they just rented that house and those cars.
Embarrassing.
I was so disappointed learning that as an adult because he just broke the TV magic. I'm thinking this dude has a freaking Shark Tank in his house and it was all just for show.
Hence the connection from the beginning of the episodes. You see a dude with Lambo taking pictures. Look at his friends. Look at his friends' page. Same Lambo, driving it. Everybody's driving 10 minutes of it. They're all paying $250 each.
In words of Selena Gomez, everything is not what it seems. And with that, it's time for the next song of the week. And this song of the week, Bastion, because we've been talking about the many samples that have been used throughout the Isley Brothers' career, but I want to pay attention to one in particular, Between the Sheets. And this DJ by the name of DJ Artistic has given us a bit of a medley to these songs. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Once again, you're tuned into Black Seinfeld, the show about nothing. Bastion, enjoy the mix.
Sharing our love between the sheets.
To all the ladies in the place with style and grace, allow me to lace these lyrical douches in your bushes.
Hey boy, won't you play for me right now? Give me that old school beat.
She working that day. She knows she got it.
I'm good, I'm by myself, but baby, you for the same. Let's make a love.
Tops come down, like when them shots come out, make cops come around.
Now you finally got a moment to yourself, girl, and I know what to do with it.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Black Seinfeld, the show about nothing. We are at the final stretch of the show. Once again, that was DJ Artistic with a little Isley Brothers mix, specifically Between the Sheets, about 15 songs that have used that sample of the Isley Brothers song. What'd you think, Bastion?
That was amazing.
I saw you grooving.
Yeah, because I know all the songs.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny. It's like you... They mixed it so well, they sample it so well, where you just might not know where it's coming from.
Exactly.
Unless you do the extra research.
Such as the Benita Applebaum remix from Tribe Called Quest. I didn't know that.
They definitely slowed it down.
Yeah.
Q-Tip is the scariest sampler out of all of them. Like,
because of the crate digging, man.
He's by far, him and Dilla, like, they by far like the scariest one. But I still think Q-Tip is the scariest one.
Yeah. Shoot, because you don't
what
know
what he finds and how he cuts up. Mm-hmm. It's just nasty.
It'll be just a small little sample. It'll be a small loop from
and
some
also,
obscure
like,
project.
It's crazy because in a way, he's able to, he mastered all three sides,
mm-hmm.
right? He knows how to rap, he knows how to make a good single, and he knows how to make great beats. So you
definitely
know, he's like one the top, like, producer rapper of the 90s.
Definitely,
De La Soul, of course.
Definitely. Same with De La Soul, which, you know, back in 1989 with the 3 Feet High and Rising, you know, that album has a lot of controversy behind it due to a lot of the sampling that was in it, and due to a lot of the sampling, they didn't make a dime off of it, really. And, you know, sampling back then, it was still a fairly new thing within the music business, specifically in hip hop, because it was
I actually learned a little bit about that.
Oh, please.
Because Open Mike Eagle has a podcast called What Happened Was, and he did it with Prince Paul, who was one of the main producers on that album.
Yeah.
The way he explained it is when he did it with Tommy Boy, and they say, hey, you know, we are using this song because, of course, Prince Paul is aware about sampling clearance and all that stuff. They gave it to Tommy Boy, and Tommy Boy was like, okay, we'll just not do it.
Mm.
So it was like the record label, Tommy Boy, were not going out and getting it cleared.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, that's what brought all of these lawsuits against the worst people. And they made money off of it, but they could have definitely made a lot more money
definitely.
If they cleared out the samples. So that's why for the next 2, 3, and 4 De La Soul albums, say, hey, is there a sample? We're going to clear it immediately.
And that's why, to this day, you really can't get the 3 Feet High and Rising album available on stream still, to this day.
Yeah, you just won't get it. But if you can find it on YouTube, all their albums are, like, amazing.
Yes.
Great albums. All of them. The Soul is Dead is just, like, by far great.
Definitely, man.
But, yeah.
So, let's wrap up the show, and I'd like to finish off with a bit of the truth, Bastion, because... apparently, the Disney-owned company known as ESPN cannot handle the truth known as Paul Pierce. For those of you who do not know, Paul Pierce, former forward of the famous Boston Celtics, got released from ESPN due to his Instagram Live antics that involved a lot of big booty O's, some weed, some risque music that... you know, the older generation, y'all would not approve of. And, you know, Paul Pierce was just living his best life, and ESPN decided to get rid of him for that. Bastion, what are your thoughts?
Paul Pierce made like $200 million over his career.
Mm-hmm.
ESPN is literally struggling to get entertainment. So he's fine. Paul Pierce is a funny guy. He gives the fans what they want. To be honest, he'll be worth much more on another network. He would be making a lot less because for some reason they had to drop how much he was making at ESPN to say 1.5. But it doesn't matter. ESPN is going downhill. They're not interesting. But I thought it was messed up they fired him on his day off, so because of day off antics. It's not like he did anything crazy.
That is but true. But also, Bastion, you have to think about that. This is a Disney-owned company. And what Paul Pierce displayed was not Disney-like at all.
They never signed a contract saying you can't do. First of all, he's from the NBA.
That is true. Hey, I agree.
Early 2000s. He was there during the Iverson, right?
Late 90s, 2000s, yes.
Yo, they were built different.
I agree with you, Bastion.
They were hood on the court. They're still hood on the court, but it's way.
Well, hell yeah, he's from Oakland.
So like he gets it. He's fine. I know people joke on him all the time, but he's a regular person.
That is true.
And he's the truth because he shines. And it's just like, hey, you can make fun of me all you want. You're still going to listen to me at the end of the day.
May I offer a retort?
What up?
I think this is just my hot take. I think the reason why the truth got fired was because of all the awful takes he would make, such as, well, I would understand why he would think so, such as he thinks that he had a better basketball career than Dwayne Wade.
No.
Yeah, I agree, but that's what he said. That's a horrible take.
No, it's not a take. It's a horrible take if another player said it, but because he said it, it's not a take. It's his opinion.
Right,
his own personal opinion.
Right, but when you have that personal opinion on air, you know people are going to criticize you for your takes, like with Stephen A. all the time.
He had the career. He did the career.
He was in there for like 20 years. He's the truth. I understand that, but better than Dwayne Wade? Come on now.
If he feels like that.
2006.
If he feels like that. 2012. Then let him feel like it.
2013.
Kanye West once said, I feel like it.
But here's the difference between the truth and Kanye West. Kanye West, is he the richest black man in America or is that just made up?
Made up.
Oh. Well, he's on his way to becoming one of the richest black men in America. Okay. Mm. Kanye West has his right to talk whatever crap he wants. Okay, unless if it's not political.
Yeah, I agree. If you're talking about music and how music is made, I would like to listen to like a 4-hour conversation on that.
Yeah.
But if he's going to talk about, I don't like paying taxes, turn it off the channel.
Right. Yo, you remember that during the Yeezus interview with Zane Lowe, he was like, you know, I like some of the Gaga songs, but like, what the F does she know about cameras?
Yeah.
That was classic.
It kind of, you're also talking about fashion and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, back to the truth.
Back to the truth. Real quick.
He was fired.
Real quick, before we get off of Kanye real quick, I just want to say this, that apparently Netflix has made a deal and they bought a Kanye West documentary that discusses his life entirely for like $30 million.
I think he has like 3 documentaries that mm-hmm. was already finished that he never came out with.
Mm-hmm.
The Yeezus tour documentary, I think filmed by Hype Williams, if I recall.
Okay.
That never came out. And I was upset because I never got a chance to go to the Yeezus tour, which I heard was like this crazy. Even people that don't care for Kanye West music thought it was like the best concert of their lives.
Right. When he was talking to Jesus and all that. I remember.
Story arc and everything.
Someone threw batteries at him during that tour. I remember.
I'm still waiting for that documentary.
Mm-hmm.
They probably finished it and mm-hmm. they just couldn't find an outlet to like release it. But yeah. Now in today's standards, I think it's easier to do it with Netflix.
And I'm super happy that for once it's a different rapper, not friggin' Biggie and Tupac, man.
Tupac.
They Biggie and Tupac documentaries to death now. We get it. Now it's time to get a new documentary, and I'm happy that it's Kanye West, because it's about a rapper who I've seen, or we've seen the full career, you know, from his producing all the way up to his debut album and all the way up to now as a Christian man.
I hope it's like the Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre documentary where it was like divided into four parts and yeah. going over different things. Because mm-hmm. that's like a super fire documentary.
100%. That's one of my favorite documentaries. I think it was called Defiant Ones, right?
Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, back to the truth. He got fired, man. All my best to Paul Pierce. I hope he keeps up with the antics because I thought they were great. And
he wasn't necessary on ESPN. Like, he added nothing besides, like, commentary.
Exactly. Comedy. He wasn't that great, like I was saying.
So, you know.
He wasn't that whatever. Great. Shout out to Paul Pierce, man. He'll be okay.
You don't need the check. You don't need the check.
He really doesn't. But, hey, man, hopefully he saved his money because it's not about how much you make, Bastion. It's what you save. And a lot of these players out here, they keep spending their money foolishly.
Bad investment deals.
Bad investment deals.
Investing in Forex.
Yeah. Or, you know, they're just wasting their money on jewelry and bust downs and all that stuff instead of investing your money into Forex.
But speaking of, this is one last thing. We have to talk about the Space Jam, A New Legacy.
That's right. Let's talk about Space Jam, New Legacy trailer.
Got 3 minutes left.
Yes. Honestly, the new Space Jam trailer to me was awesome.
Awful.
Why? Do you?
Oh, you said awesome? Yeah. Oh, I thought you meant awful.
No, I liked it. What, were you upset at the fact that the trailer, to me, it seems more like a reboot rather than a sequel?
I don't care if it's like, to be honest, I knew it wouldn't be a sequel, but mm-hmm. it's not even in the same universe. I don't know if it's even the same idea, but hence just looking at the trailer, it looked super.
Hence reboot.
It looks super Hollywood.
Explain,
right? If you
please.
Think about the first Space Jam, it's like Warner Brothers, right. Looney Tunes, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But now you see Looney Tunes. Everything that has to do with everything, LeBron James.
So Looney Tunes, everything Warner Brothers related, everything Warner Brothers licensed, sort of like the Lego movie, Ready Player One from Stephen King. It's the same sort of concept. That's what you're saying.
How many times are you going to see the Iron Giant without getting an Iron Giant movie?
Because we don't need Iron Giant 2, Bastion. We don't need it, like, at all. There's certain movies that don't need sequels, and I felt like, one, Space Jam, it didn't need a sequel, but we're having one, and I guess having it be LeBron James, who is still sort of the face of the NBA, I think that's fine. Again, I don't think this is a movie that is supposed to be taken seriously, and I didn't take the trailer seriously at all. That's why I enjoyed the trailer. It definitely does.
Do people not make movies to be viewed as a serious work of art?
Some definitely do, but with a movie like Space Jam, I mean, come on. Michael Jordan's acting was horrible in that movie, okay? Like, it was cool to see the Looney Tunes with the most famous basketball player on the earth, and now I think they're doing that again because of the demand for another damn Space Jam, because
there is no demand.
No, because of nostalgia.
They created demand. Hey, what? You guys want a new Space Jam? It's like, I guess.
I mean, think about all the Space Jam releases that's been happening. Space Toon Squad release jerseys, Space Jam Jordans. Everyone always kept talking about Space Jam 2, and now it's happening. So, once again, I'm not taking it seriously because in rewatching the first Space Jam, I realize how god-awful that movie is, you know, taking off the nostalgic goggles. You know,
I'm not watching it ever. I think I watched like 2 minutes of it. It's like, oh, dear.
Oh, yeah, because R. Kelly was like the first 30 seconds, too.
The cartoons are really two-dimensional. Jeez.
Oh, man, Lola Bunny. Lola Bunny is definitely a bit more G-rated in this
one. Oh, yeah,
one.
She got nerfed.
She definitely got nerfed. Oh, like, Zendaya is playing Lola.
Whack. Anyways.
Don't do that to Zendaya.
Whack.
You leave her alone. All right? Whack. You leave Marie alone.
I'm not dissing her. I just think the whole idea
of
the movie is whack.
Oh, how do you feel about War Machine, a.k.a. Don Cheadle, as the villain this time around?
You gotta get that check, bro. Get that check.
Hey, we gotta support black actors, man. And I'm sorry.
Hey, with the black villain versus LeBron, the black-on-black crime, I think it's fine.
We got
right?
we got predominantly black Monstars and Sue Bird.
So I think. Oh, like, yeah, because they're NBA players.
Yeah, like Klay Thompson. I think Chris Paul's in it. Damian Lillard. I forget who else, but Sue Bird's in it too, I believe. So, yeah, I think this movie is going to be a fun watch. It's going to be a little popcorn flick. I'm not going to take it too seriously, but I think we need to get a new ballot for Space Jam because obviously R. Kelly can't do that anymore. I think we need to bring in Jacquees. So Jacquees, if you are hearing this, this is your time to now do your covers. All right. You need to recover I Believe I Can Fly and put it in Space Jam. We need a new ballot now.
It's over, bro. No longer need it.
No, Jacquees needs some money, so you know.
How are they going to end Space Jam, huh? With hip-hop, huh? Or give me an R&B record. Real R&B record.
Dreams and Nightmares. We got Michael coming out the spaceship. I used to pray for times like this, jobs like this, so I had to crown like that, to shine like this. That would be tight.
Bring R&B back again.
R&B is not left, man. In fact...
Two instruments.
In fact, Bastion...
One instrument in R&B.
We're going to go out to an R&B record from Shelly, a.k.a. formerly known as Drom, who released a 2-pack the other day. And this track we're going to play is Exposure. So is there anything else you want to say before we depart?
No, check out Black Seinfeld on YouTube. Like and subscribe. Instagram and Twitter, we're Black Seinfeld NY. And if you have any questions, please reach us out at blacksignfoldny@gmail.com. And just in case you forget where our socials are, you can go on blacksignfeld.com for more information.
So as I like to say, people, take care of yourselves. Stay hydrated. Take 10 minutes off the day to stretch. If you drink, don't drive. And if you drive, don't drink. FDT, Free Palestine, Sakyamada. Take care from all of us here at Black Seinfeld. Peace.
Hey, let me love you inside out and outside in. Let me touch your soul before I touch your skin. Expose yourself to me. You have my consent. I wanted to see what lies underneath. Cause beauty to me is more than skin deep. The woman of my dream. Right here in real life. Right there when I sleep. Every memory. And you and me share means everything.
And
I just wanna be your man.
And
already think I am.
And I
wanna be the best of friends.
And I,
first you gotta let me in. Let me love you inside out and outside in. Let me touch your soul just like I touch your skin. Let me love you inside out and outside in. Love you over and over again. And I exposed myself to you. Took off your clothes before I did too. You showed me something new. Your vulnerable side, you gave me the proof. There's no such thing as cool. When passionate love sets fire to the room. All I wanna do is make you love. My life in half so we can share.
do more than just promise, girl, I swear. I love you inside out and outside in. Let me touch your soul just like I touch your skin. Let me love you inside out and outside in. Let me love you over and over again. Hey, I just wanna be honest.